Good afternoon. I come to you from New York, so half of my mind is back on the East Coast, but I will endeavor to share with you our experiences on this study. This study, we have no disclosures. This study represents a partnership between investigators at New York University and the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, specifically folks involved with the Primary Care Information Project. The Primary Care Information Project, or PCIP, is something that some of you may have heard of. This is an initiative launched in 2008 by the Department of Health. Its centerpiece is the provision of substantial subsidy and technical assistance to implement an electronic health record model in practices in New York City. The practices had to meet a threshold of serving a certain number of Medicaid or uninsured patients. So the initiative has been targeted at practices serving the underserved. Although the centerpiece is this EHR, the Department of Health strongly believes that this initiative is broader than that and that it is moving practices along a continuum towards what they call transformation towards the patient-centered medical home. In contrast, though, to the previous presentation, I would note that the practices involved in this initiative don't necessarily know this. In their eyes, they're getting an EHR. And I, informally through this project, I have visited some of them, and it is a little news to them that they're being moved along towards a patient-centered medical home. So this study does not suffer from the same selection bias of early adopters that many do. Two things to note, though: this EHR, an agreement was reached with NCQA that if practices implemented this EHR and were using its capabilities, they would be eligible for level one recognition. They would still have to apply for it individually. This is not some kind of blanket recognition. But the point is that they are using an EHR that that is level one capable. The Department of Health also provides, in addition to the vendor provided technical assistance, provides their own staff in the form of quality improvement specialists. And they are working on other aspects of primary care, a patient-centered medical home. Currently, PCIP involves 7,000 providers in New York City, a variety of practice environments, from small practices to community health centers and hospitals. And this initiative covers essentially over 2.5 million patients. And they are spreading it, expanding it somewhat in 2013. The study that I'm going to talk about is in response to a specific RFA, and I mention this because it very much shapes what our study sample ends up being. This was an RFA issued by ARC, and what they wanted to do was to capitalize on the many PCMH efforts going on across the country to learn more about a patient-centered medical home and what it takes to transform practices and that sort of thing. So by definition, this could not be a prospective evaluation. Rather, the requirement was to identify practices that had already been transformed, and that was the word used in the RFA, for a year or more. So this is not a prospective evaluation of PCIP. No definition of what transformation meant was imposed by the RFA, so all the grantees could define that how they wanted. And that's our grant number for proper acknowledgement. And so we partnered, the NYU investigators and the Department of Health, to focus, of course, on practices involved in PCIP, which, as I said, necessarily means that they have high-volume Medicaid uninsured patient populations, and of course they're all located in New York City, so they're in an urban environment. We further decided, though, to focus at the very small end in terms of practice size, practices with fewer than 5 FTE providers. We had to develop a definition of transformation that we could apply empirically with the data that we had at hand. And so we use what many would argue is a fairly minimal definition, but what we said is they had to be using this level one PCMH-capable EHR for a year or more as of October 2009, because that was the time of the application. And So that meant that they had capabilities such as population management and care coordination, because all those things are built into the EHR. We further said that they had to have at least two visits from one of the QI specialists from PCIP. And to us, that signaled a certain readiness and willingness to go beyond just implementing their EHR to work on some other aspects of patient-centered medical home, whether they identified it as such or not, and that they had received such assistance. We knew that this definition, and we were happy about this, would be very broad and would cast a broad net, and so that we would have a set of practices that displayed considerable variability, which would be good for analytic purposes. We decided to focus on very small practices because basically nobody has much. Very small practices have been understudied in general with respect to primary care research and certainly with respect to patient-centered medical home. We do have some evidence that practice size is correlated with achieving transformation, and so even more reason to look at the small end. And yet many, many people are served by small practices, even though we often hear, oh, well, the solo practitioner, that's a dinosaur, it's going to disappear in 20 years. Well, that may be in 20 years, but right now a lot of people see solo practitioners, including a lot of Medicaid enrollees, which many people are not aware of. So keeping with kind of the broad mission of both the RFA we were responding to and to how little is known about the small practices, our questions are pretty somewhat exploratory and descriptive in nature. You know, who are these small practices that are moving towards transformation? What were their experiences prior to this transformation? Did they have experience with health information technology? Do they have experience with formal QI initiatives? It's been said to us that, well, these small docs, they don't have computers. They don't have experience. Well, it's an empirical question. We're not quite sure about that. What dimensions of the PCMH model have they managed to achieve, and to what degree? Do they have the same kinds of challenges as larger practices, and do they have unique challenges? And then we want to relate all these characteristics. Does prior experience seem to matter in achieving PCMH? Do different dimensions of PCMH matter in terms of patient care and then patient outcomes? And those are all questions that we seek to address. This is a multi-method study. We have several sources of data. First, we have used as much as possible the existing data from the Department of Health. They have data on all these practices. They have data about what they have done with practices, so contact logs and staff visits and that sort of thing. But the EHRs are centrally hooked into the Department of Health, and they transmit summarized clinical data, and we do have access to that, which is great. We also went back to their application forms that they completed upon joining PCIP to get some of that information about their prior experiences. Exciting as it is to have this kind of data, and people often say with envy, oh, you have access to such great secondary data, it is nonetheless limited. It doesn't answer all our questions by any stretch of the imagination, and it doesn't tell us a lot about PCMH, frankly, and about the kinds of characteristics that we're looking for. And so we have placed greater emphasis on the development and implementation of a survey as we've gone along in this study, and it's highlighted because that's what I'm going to focus on in the results. And then we're also doing site visits, key informant interviews, and we are going to do patient interviews or focus groups. We haven't quite decided. The study sample had to meet the definition I already mentioned. In addition, we decided that we needed to exclude pediatric practices, and that was more because in developing the survey, we realized that we had to ask different questions of a pediatric-only practice versus practices that were serving adults. Somewhat regretfully, we did eliminate the pediatric practices, and we also had to eliminate some practices that had closed by the time we started our study. So in our final study sample, we have 148 practices. A little over half of them are solo practitioners, so they're not just small, they're very, very small. They have received substantial assistance from PCIP, a mean of 8.5 visits. And of these 148 practices, 40% have gone ahead and gotten on their own the PCMH level, at least level one designation. Some of them have gotten higher. And that was as of February. in developing any study, and certainly when you're putting together a survey, you need to have some kind of conceptual framework. There's a lot of articles one could use out there, a lot in the literature on PCMH. We chose to use this Rittenhouse article that identified 7 principles of PCMH. This is the kind of stuff you'll see, the team-based care, the care coordination, access, those sorts of things. The only thing we don't really include is payment reform. Our survey is based on the multitude of instruments that are out there already related to PCMH, but just primary care research in general, chronic disease model, that sort of thing. But we ended up creating almost an entirely new survey. It's very heavily based on the content of all these other surveys, but we found that we really had to recast this for the small practice. And we were very interested in the functionality of these practices, how they are achieving the functions of the patient-centered medical home, and we were less interested in some of the formal mechanisms that are becoming very commonly associated as the hallmarks of the patient-centered medical home. We kind of wanted to give our practices every chance to shine, in a sense. And so we did develop this kind of whole new instrument. It took us many, many months of development. We pilot tested it for clarity and resonance with these small providers, and also to make sure we weren't missing anything. We really pushed them to say, is there something that you're doing in the care that you're providing that we're not including on this survey? We have fielded the survey, mostly online, although some elected to do it in the mail. And we're pleased. We got a 64% response rate, and we have 94 practices represented by our survey. These are some of the characteristics. This is really, I should say, very hot off the press. We just finished fielding at the end of September. And so I am presenting the very first cut at this survey data. A little surprisingly to me, our survey sample is more solo practice than even the larger sample. And I thought it was interesting that it was solo practitioners who particularly took the time, and this was a lengthy survey, I might add, to complete. They've been an average of 15 years in practice, although there's quite a bit of variability around that. They see, on average, 6,800 patients a year, but again, variability around that. You'll see in the characteristics here just the kind of practices these are. They are very much a lot of Medicaid, a lot of uninsured patients. 2/3 of their patients are non-white, and 1/3 of their patients are not really comfortable speaking English. I show you this. This is I wanted to give you a little flavor of how our survey looks and feels and why it's a little bit different than some other surveys. These are some of the questions under evidence-based practice. And we asked them, how do you use guidelines? Because that's one of the things you're supposed to do in PCMH. How do you use guidelines for preventive care, for chronic diseases, and for depression? But instead of just asking them one question about that in a very narrow way, we said, check all that apply here. You know, tell us what you're doing. You can tell us that you don't follow any guidelines, but tell us if you've posted guidelines, if you've gotten together and agreed amongst the providers to use specific guidelines, do you have standing orders? And then the most sophisticated one, are you using your EHR, which recall, we know they have one. Okay, by definition, they all have an EHR that is capable of this. Are you using it to provide guidelines, guideline-based prompts and reminders? And indeed, the majority are doing that most sophisticated thing. But by kind of giving the options, we get quite a range of things that these practices are doing. I think this is an example of kind of a theme that I think we're going to see as we continue to analyze this data. In terms of access to care, we asked them the functionality. You know, do you manage to provide care? To what extent do you respond to calls outside of hours? And how often are you able to get back to people on the same day? And these are a combination of two questions. And when you ask them that, you know, almost all of them say, yeah, we do that. Yes, we do. We do that always. This is the number that said always. I cut the data here by solo and not solo, just as a very first pass on the data, because we thought, does this relationship of size to size of practice to PCMH hold at the very small end? So we're comparing solo practitioners to everyone else who are themselves very small practices. And you'll see pretty consistently we don't see a difference. That kind of correlation doesn't seem to hold at this end. But then we asked them a question about a much more formal mechanism. Do you use open access or advanced access scheduling? And the numbers go down quite a bit here. They're much less likely to use that sort of mechanism. Similarly, team-based care. You know, this is becoming so tightly associated with the patient-centered medical home. And yet I have to ask you, what is a team-based care in a solo practice? I mean, who are they going to team with? You know, what is that? So we asked them, well, do you have a care team? Because that's one of the questions, right? That's a standard question in PCMH. And when we asked them, do you have a formal care team? Most of them don't. The great majority don't have that. But then we asked them a series of questions. Okay, even if you don't have a formal care team, do you share responsibility? Do you have ways of sharing responsibility for patient care among different people in your office? And then the numbers go up quite a bit. Very few of them say none of this at all. Some do. We find that they are doing patient outreach and monitoring. They do have structured processes for this. Certainly for reminding patients of upcoming appointments, when you go further out to the more sophisticated, the more difficult things to do, less of them are contacting patients who haven't been seen in a year, but they are engaged in systematic monitoring for chronic illness. Again, care coordination, another one. You know, very few tiny practices are going to be able to afford a designated care manager, right? They don't have that kind of resource. And when we ask them that, do you have a designated care or case manager? Almost all of them say no. But that's not the end of the story. We then ask them, we pull out, what does it mean to do quick care coordination? And we ask them different aspects of that. And then we find out that, yeah, a lot of them, they do, in fact, transfer information to specialists, and they do talk to their patients about the result of their specialist visits, et cetera. So in sum, these are very preliminary findings, and we have a long way to go, but we are seeing that these very small practices, they are fulfilling key dimensions of the patient-centered medical home, but the use of these formal mechanisms are much less common, and I think that's going to continue to be the case. It seems to me they're meeting the spirit of PCMH more than perhaps the letter as it's sometimes being defined. And I would say that for those of us who are saying this, we need to be mindful of this and be more flexible about our definitions of PCMH and particularly our metrics so that we're not missing the ways of achieving these important characteristics, but not necessarily the way we're always conceptualizing them. Nonetheless, though, gaps still persist. And these are a set of practices that have been given an EHR system that is capable of doing this kind of work, and they get a lot of TA, and yet we're still seeing some gaps. So there's obviously still work to be done. Not seeing any evidence that solo practitioners are functioning at a different level. But I'd also point out that even though these practices are, according to our survey, fulfilling a lot of the aspects of PCMH, they have an EHR that's level one capable. In terms of NCQA recognition, but only 40% of them have gotten PCMH accreditation, and so there's barriers there that we might want to explore. Our next steps are to continue to analyze this data, and we have a lot of it, and then do our site visits and key informant interviews to try to flesh out some of the things that we find in our survey, and then to ascertain the patient perspective. So, thank you.